Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Our Sunday service is dedicated to a teaching service. So today we're going to still look into the matters of We Are at War. We are almost wrapping up with our second sub-series. The school has a lot to talk about, but we would shorten it and end it here and then move into another sub-series. And the next sub-series we'll be looking at is the battlefield. So from the school of warfare, we will look at the matters of what? The battlefield. Hallelujah. As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. We want to read the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 17. We have remained in this very Ephesians chapter 6 because that is where the school of warfare, the central theme is. So we still want to be there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to the verse 17. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. Second reading, Romans chapter 13, verse 12 to 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 to 14. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let's put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. The verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Hallelujah. Our last reading, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. We are all going to read together as the custom is. Are you ready? Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Let's go ahead. I can't hear you. Let's take it again. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Let's go. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Hallelujah. Now that we've been able to examine the concept of weapons, we are looking at what we call armor. And in the knowledge of armor, what we're going to do is put on the whole armor. And we want to tackle the part one today. And I'm praying and believing that we don't have many parts as we study the concept of what put on the whole armor. Now, if you remember very well, in the first message on weapons of our warfare, I gave a brief definition on armor and its primary function. And I said that an armor is what a soldier wears or carries to guard himself from what? Attack. And that was the definition that we had in the beginning. Now, so therefore, an armor is primarily a defensive tool that helps us withstand, resist, and survive attacks. So I was talking about this definition because I was trying to draw a distinguish between the items that can fall within weapon and the same time fall within what? An armor. And I said that if you don't take care, you may think that armor and weapon are the same, because one item can still be used as an armor and can be used as a weapon. And remember I mentioned that in our traditional local house where we grew up, our arm can be hot an armor and the same hand can be hot a weapon. And I told that if you don't take care, your mom wants to reset you and you raise your hot, your armor of hand to block the resetting, you have called for hot external family gathering. You will explain to your great uncles and great grandfathers, even the ones in the grave, how you beat your mom by just blocking a slap. Have you ever been in that situation before? Hallelujah. So I was trying to distinguish between that the same hand that can be used to slap can also be used to block out a slap. And therefore, we cannot say that because the hand is able to slap and with armor and weapon of the same. Therefore, I gave this definition. In that case, we saw that, or we can say that the purpose of an armor is to do this following thing. Number one, to shield you, to cover, to preserve, and keep you standing as a soldier. To keep you standing as a soldier. So you see that in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, the first scripture that we read, it established that we put on the whole armor that we can be able to stand. That we can be able to stand. Because the purpose of an armor is to help you to be able to stand. And what are we standing against? Or what are we standing? It is against the wiles, the schemes, the methods, and the very ways the devil would want to come and explore you. Hallelujah. So essentially, the whole thing about armor is what I've just mentioned. The purpose is to shield you, is to preserve you, and keep the soldier standing. So when you fall, what we need to check out is your armor. When the believer falls to the schemes of the devil, when the believer becomes a victim of the devil, then we have to check your armor. It's just like when there's a money, you have been exploited by fraud. The first thing you have to do is to check your Momo pin. Is that not so? And be sure that those things are all in place. So whenever the believer falls to the schemes of the devil, or you're falling to the fiery darts of the devil, the place of inspection first is what? Your armor. Is the armor on? Because if the armor is on, it will shield you. It will keep you standing. So the devil will always come with his scheme. But your ability to stand is depending on what? The armor concept. So it's very important that we understand the place of what? Armor. Hallelujah. Are you with me? God. Now let's do a little, establish a little objective over here. When we were exploring the concept of weapon in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 to 5, we found out that whenever Paul was talking about the concept weapon, he was talking about the use of the weapon. Says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God by the heart, pulling down of what? Strongholds, casting down what? Imaginations, and bringing to captivity any thought that won't exalt itself above the knowledge of Christ. I'm just paraphrasing. So you found out that the focus and the emphasis on weapon was on the use, So what when you are teaching or when we want to establish the knowledge about weapon, it is more on what? The use of it. So it's not about how a weapon looks like. I don't know if you are following me. The believer does not need to dwell much more on how a weapon looks like. The believer must be much interested in what the weapon can do, the damage it can cause. So your pursuit on weapon must be, how much damage can I do with this weapon? So when I draw the sword of the spirit, to what extent can I cause damage? What can I pull down? What can I bring down? I hope you get those facts. So you see that all that we did under the concept of weapon was how much we can do, or what we can use the weapon to what? Accomplish in advancing the things that we need to pull down, the things we need to uproot, the things we need to what? To destroy. Are we there? But when it comes to the concept of armor, in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, what was the instruction? In fact, we can start from Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 when he wanted to start talking about this issue of warfare. He said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of what? His might. Then what did he say? Put on. So you see that with armor, Paul is not talking about how it looks like, how it is being used. Your whole thing is just put it on. What it will do is none of your business. All you need to know is what? You do what? You put it on. Are we there? With the armor, you need to know how to use it. You need to know what it can be used for. But when it comes to the weapon, all you need to know is how to use it, what it can be used for. But when it came to the armor, the instruction was just one thing. Just find it on you. What should you do? Put it on. Are we there? So if you have an armor and you have not put it on, then you are not going according to instructions. Are we on the same page here? So all that we are going to explore on the concept of what? Armor is
how to put it on and how to keep it on. Because any other thing does not concern us. Whether the armor, what the armor can do is none of our business. What we are interested in is what? How to what? Put it on and how to what? Keep it on. Are you on the same page? Good. Now, the word that was used over there was an instruction. Now, the message I sent across today, I said something that in the New Testament or in the epistles, there are over 1,000 instructions that was given to the believer concerning the Christian life. And one of those instructions is what? Put on. And one of the put on is what? Put on what? The whole armor. Okay? So, what is the concept put on? In fact, the concept put on or the Greek word used there is a verb. And I'm going to spell the verb to you because, you know, I don't like pronouncing those Greek words. Let me spell it to you that you write it down. Then you tell me how you pronounce it. Forgive me. Where I went, there was no phonics in my class. I was not taught phonics, so I don't know how to. I don't want any trouble. So, the Greek word translated as put on is a verb. And it's spelled as this. E-N-D-Y-S-A-S-T-H-E. You can pronounce it according to the school you attended. Don't come and force me to pronounce it. Hallelujah. If not because of how I want to explain this concept, I'll not even bother myself looking for this word. But they said it's called endosate, so something like that. So I don't know. But those of you who have been using the Greek words, can you tell me how you learn the syllabic words of pronouncing them? Now I need help. How do we pronounce this? Please, can you get the microphone to our professor here? Professor AB. Professor in theology, please, how do we pronounce this one? Hallelujah. Please spare him. He said, Master. Everybody doesn't like pronouncing Greek words, but let's move on. This Greek word, which was translated as put on, it means as a verb to clothe oneself deliberately. So when somebody decides to clothe themselves, that is the concept put on. So in what Paul was trying to talk about, he was trying to tell us that we should consciously, continuously act on by what? Clothing ourselves. And it shouldn't be a one-time what? Thing. Are we on the same page? So the put on is a deliberate act of what? Clothing what? Oneself. So this whole thing we are coming to explore has to do with the concept of what? Clothing. Are you following me? Are you following me? So before I can teach you or we can look into the matter of how to put an armor on and how to keep it on, you have to understand the essence of why Paul said put on, which is clothing. He said deliberately what? Clothe yourself with the armor. Consciously, continuously do so. That is the interpretation of that word over there. Are you with me? So in the study of the epistles, one of the common things you will come across are instructions or on the practices of the Christian faith. And one of those instructions repeated across the entire epistles from Romans to almost Hebrew, one of the key things is what? Put on. Which has to do with what? Clothing. Now, what is the concept of clothing? From the very story of creation, from the very beginning of all that was captured in scripture, one of the stories that we see as part of the beginning was the concept of clothing. Now, you will find out that a way that Adam reacted when he fell was on the concept of clothing. That therefore established that God never created man to be without clothes. And in Genesis chapter 3 verse 7, let's see. You see, if God created man to be without clothes, when Adam sinned and his eyes was open, what was his first reaction? Are you following me? What was his first reaction? Let's see. He said, then the eyes of both of them were open. That was the first thing that happened to them when they ate the fruit. So when the devil told them that when you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you know good and evil, the knowledge that they acquired, what was the first reaction that they did? Do you get the point I'm leading to? Now, when you receive a knowledge, the primary use of that knowledge will be your first reaction. What did they do? And they knew that they were what? Naked. So the first thing that knowledge taught them was that they are naked. And what did they do now? That knowledge taught them another thing, that nakedness is not a good thing. So what did they do? And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves what? Coverings. Why did they react that way? You are going to see the concept of clothing as I explain. But what I want to tell you first is that God never created man to be naked. In God's design model, man must always be what? Be covered. So even when man was deceived by the devil and they realized that they were deceived, at that moment they knew that they were deceived. Because when they heard the voice of God, they went to hide. They knew that they have followed the wrong thing and they have to do something to cover up. I don't know if you have ever tried this before. You see, those days that our mothers have these ceramic bowls and everything, those pot things, then you've been playing around and you're doing something and then you knock it and it breaks. You see what you do, right? You find a way to put it together and keep it there as if nobody touched it. So that when your mom comes and then she shakes it and that was what Adam and Eve were doing. They knew that they have done something, but they have to what? Solve the problem. The problem that they generated, they have to solve. That was the problem that their clothes were taken off. And they need to cover themselves before God comes. Therefore, they try to react. That means that God never created man to be what? To be naked. When we go on, we will see that when God came in and he saw that even they used the wrong way to cover themselves, God still stepped in and out and covered them. That was our third reading. So before that, God corrected the material that they used, not the concept that they applied. If clothing or covering or clothing issue was not important, God would have just taken the fig leaves or leave them to be in the fig leaves. But God knows that the human being or the humankind is designed that he cannot do without having clothes on. Therefore, even though they had the idea of what to do, they didn't know the kind of material or what they need to put on to be able to meet that what original what blueprint of what man deserves. So what did God do? In Genesis chapter 3 verse 21, as we read, the Bible said, "And for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of what? Skin." So they needed the tunics of what? Skin to cover themselves, not a fig leaf. So the concept was right, the material used was what? Wrong. So it tells you that it is not about the concept, it is about the material God came to what? Correct. Therefore, it means that that concept is something that humanity cannot do with, which is what? Clothing. And that was what Paul was repeating in all his epistles, that put on, because clothing is essential to the human what? Living. And I'll tell you why it is so dangerous. Now let's move on. Now, why is clothing so important? Clothing deals with nakedness. Somebody say nakedness. The reason why clothing is so important is because clothing what? Deals with what? Nakedness. Even God is not naked. In the book of Psalms, the Bible says he covers himself with light. Even God is not naked. The book of Psalms, you can find that scripture for me. He said, and you cover thyself with what? With light. So if God created us in his image and likeness, and he, God, covers himself, what do you think he will do to you? God will also what? Cover, because in his image and likeness, he ought, we have to be. So nakedness is a serious matter. Therefore, the reason why clothing is so important and every man react to the concept clothing is because nakedness is not something that anybody wants. So the concept of clothing deals with what? Nakedness. There are various forms of nakedness now. Okay? You see, the reason why this generation, you see, the reason why, you see, our fathers and mothers talk about clothing issues. Now, if you see somebody, I'll come to that place. But you see why, when you see somebody's dress and you are pissed. Are you with me? Because clothing is the thing about put on. It's a very essential thing. Because the God who created us in his image and likeness created us, or he himself is clothed in what? In light. Psalm 104 verse 2. Thank you. Who cover yourself with what? Light, as with what? Garment. So God himself is clothed. And what God wears is what? It's light. Hallelujah. So nakedness as defined in biblical terms. Now, when we talk about nakedness, what we all generally know is to be what? Naked, right? I don't want to go further. But means that there's no anything on your... You see, there are various levels of what? Nakedness, right? We have partial, full, semi-partial, whatever we want to call it. Let's move on. Hallelujah. I'm not here to do any of that sort. Let's move on. But in broader biblical definition, nakedness means to be stripped of covering, dignity, and identity. Anytime a person is naked, it means that the person is either stripped of his covering, or stripped of his what? Dignity, or stripped of what? Identity. And finally, stripped of what? Protection. So whenever these things happen to you, what happens is that a person becomes what? Exposed and vulnerable. So when we say you are naked, what we mean is that you have been stripped of what? Your covering. You have been stripped of what? Your dignity. You have been stripped of what? Your identity. You have been stripped of what? Your protection. And at that state, you are what? Vulnerable and exposed. The reason why Adam and Eve reacted for the first time that they ate the fruit was because they were stripped of all these things that I mentioned. They were stripped of God's covering, and that led them out of the Garden of Eden. They were stripped of their identity, which is in the image and likeness of God. They were stripped of their dignity, which is the authority that God gave them. So they became a person who was now slave, who's supposed to be masters. They rather became slaves of the creation that they're supposed to rule over. And what happened to them? They became vulnerable that they have to put on fig leaves to cover themselves. And they felt so exposed. So the whole concept of nakedness is when at a point you are uncovered. You don't have covering. Your dignity is gone. Your identity is gone. Your protection is gone. You are what? You are naked. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Therefore, clothing serves not merely to cover the body. The concept clothing is not only just to cover the body. See, what the spirit man yearns, okay, is the expression of what the body. Because you see, our spirit and soul instruct the body. The body is a servant. So if your body has a way of reacting when you are naked. How many of you schooled in the central region during those period of June to August? That is how you learn how to bat, by jumping under the water and coming out. You know, within that period, the weather is so cold that you are even afraid to take off your clothes because your body will react. There is a way they dress in the Western world at a certain period called what? Winter. Are you with me? Because the body reacts. So, you see, clothing is not just merely about covering your body, but to communicate what? The concept of what? Identity, dignity, status, and what? And protection. So, anytime somebody dress up, what the person is trying to communicate to you is the person's what? Identity. That is why it is easy to locate a prostitute from what? One who is not a prostitute. Just by appearance. True of us. Now, if you walk to what are some of the joints for the prostitutes? Why are you afraid to answer? Oh. Is the Virginia no? But how did you know? You do business in the night, so you know. But when you go there are a lot of people could be passing by. A lot of people could be standing. But you can be able to spot the one who is what? A prostitute from the one who is not. Just by what? So you see, I'll come to that place. But you find out that one of the reasons for clothing is about what? Identification. Therefore, because of the concept and the essence of clothing, one thing that Apostle Paul said that our spirit yearn for, the spirit of man yearn for, grown for, is to be clothed. Let's read the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2 to 3. The reason why Paul gave one of the instructions, the common instruction about put on, is what I'm trying to tell you. Because there's an aspect or a concept of nakedness that if you don't learn to deal with it, you will feel always vulnerable and not exposed. And the believer should never be what? Exposed and vulnerable in warfare. Do you understand? So you have to have something that will deal with that situation. That is why he was instructing them to put on the armor. That's why I want to explain the concept of what? Clothing. Don't joke with it. See, your clothing tells a lot about you. Hallelujah. So anytime you are putting on clothes, know that you are dealing with what? The principle of what? Nakedness. Now listen to what Apostle Paul was saying about what the human spirit does. Said, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from what? Heaven. When we become born again, One of the things that your spirit will be yearning for is that you will do away with this what earthly body, which is what expressions of the sinful nature, and then receive the transformative body or the transfigured body, so that that is what your spirit one can live in. You see, this body is limiting your spirit too. The regenerated spirit in you right now, this body is limiting its flow. Are you with me? The spirit that lives in you, the Holy Spirit, this body is limiting it. So the spirit has now come together and has become one with your spirit. And the groaning is that I want, that's why the believer dying is not a loss to the believer. Because he wants to exchange the what? This earthly tabernacle for what? The heavenly one. And why is our spirit groaning all the time? It's groaning because the nakedness that is that this flesh put us into, we can't stand it. So we want to change it and be what? Covered with the right what? Thing that what our spirit deserves. So the concept put on is not a joke. Are we making some progress here? Therefore, nakedness is a dreadful thing to man, such that the first reaction of man to nakedness was fear. You see, whatever is dreadful to you, its way of knowing is fear. Do you know that if somebody, there are some sisters, if they see a worm, the way they'll jump and scream. She's not here, right? She has, okay, good. Well, Gekko, if my wife sees one, she says she has seen the devil. She's outside, right? Please don't tell her that I told you. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Nakedness is so dreadful. That is how it is. See, nakedness, every human being fears nakedness. It's so dreadful to him or her, says that whenever any human being notices they are naked, one of the reactions they'll do is what? Fear. Let's watch. The first time man was naked, what did he do? Said that then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Let's move on. The issue of geography was led to the concept of what? Clothing. Let's get here. Somebody, what does your current location has to do with your state of dressing? Let's look at what happened. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was what? Naked. And I what? Hid myself. Do you know why people fear God? Do you know why people are running away from God? Nakedness. So anytime you are naked, what you will see, the evidence is fear. That is why whenever you are dealing in warfare and you are naked, the thing that you see, fear begins to grip you. When you know that you have no covering, you have no identity. That is why in resolving spiritual conflict, the first thing that we help people to do is to establish their identity in Christ. Because the moment the person does not even have an identity, the person would already be afraid of what is coming at him. Do you get it? So nakedness is so dreadful to man that man's reaction to nakedness is what? Is fear. So whenever man is naked, there are two things involved. Not what Basket Mouse said. This one is different. The first thing is fear. The second one is what? Shame. Or both. Now, in the concept of marriage, in Genesis chapter 3, chapter 2, the Bible said both the man and the woman was what? Naked. And they were not what? Ashamed because they were married. Now, anytime you are not married, unless the spirit of lust has overtaken you, by your first fornication that you are going to commit, when you are done, you'll be ashamed. If you like, ask those who have experiences in it. You're asking Fafa. He's laughing. Okay. The first experience, because whenever you are naked, you see, God covers you in marriage. God covers you. Are you following the concept? So the covering of God is in it. So when you are naked, there is no shame. But the moment you don't have that covering and you do it, shame will catch you. So nakedness is so dreadful to everybody that nobody. Therefore, the only solution of nakedness or to nakedness is what? To clothe what? Thyself, which is what? Put on. And this is the first attempt of man when he is ever what? Naked. So anytime anybody feels naked, the first attempt the person will do is what? To put on. So when somebody feels ashamed, feels afraid as a believer because of a situation, the first attempt the person will be making is what? To put something on. But the thing is, do you not even know how to put it on? Or do you even know what to put on? And that is what I want to deal with. And I pray that as we move in this very message, you will know what to put on. That fear and shame will not be an identity of you. That you will not feel naked all the time and the devil will be exploring you. Because nakedness will always make you hide. But the Bible said the righteous is as bold as a lion. I declare in the name of Jesus that you will be clothed, that you will be as bold as a lion, and that you will be able to dare and face situations. Because when Christ is with us, nothing can be against us. And that is the boldness I want you to release. In warfare, your boldness is what makes you to prevail. And I pray for you that you will be bold as what? A lion. Because you are not naked. I said you are not naked. You are covered. You have an identity. You have a dignity. You are not unprotected. The Bible said the Lord surrounds the righteous like the mountains around Jerusalem. And I declare that in this identity, you will prevail in war. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, there are three reasons why we put on. And it is also seen in scriptures. We are going to use these three reasons. And out of these three is where the armor lies. Are you with me? Amen. Okay. Generally, at any given time, when we put on something, there are three reasons for doing so. So now let's look at these three reasons. Now, when you look at all these instructions given in the epistles concerning put on, you can categorize them also into what? Into three. All the put on in the epistles, you can also categorize them into what? Into three. Now, the first one, we put on clothing to give us what? Identity. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Clothing can identify who you are, where you belong, and what you represent. One reason you choose what you put on is because of the matter of what? Identity. Now, if we want to separate a medical doctor from a banker, okay, and a pilot, all we need is what? Clothe them. So one reason why we put on clothes is what? The concept of what? Identity. Spiritually, what you put on reveals the identity you are carrying. Spiritually, what you put on reveals what? The identity what you are carrying. And in the matter of identity, what we put on is Christ. So whenever we want to fix the issue of nakedness with regards to identity, what we put on is what? Is Christ. Let's read the scripture in Romans chapter 13 verse 14. Quickly. The Bible instructs us what? Put on the Lord Jesus what? Christ. Why did the Bible instruct us to put on Christ? It's to what? The reasons of what? Identity. It is to what? Define what you represent. Where you come from. Are you there? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Good. So to put on Christ means to be clothed with his life, his righteousness, his authority, and his what? Identity. Now, if I want you to become a policeman, all I need to do is what? Put you into what? A police uniform, and that becomes your identity. Hello? Hello? Has somebody addressed you by the clothes you are wearing? If you sit in trotro, it's common. Are you with me? It's either they address you by the money you gave or what you are wearing. 20 cities. Have you ever? Yes. Oh, the address is red, but it's all red. So, when we put on Christ, what we are trying to do is that we want people to address us as how to address Christ. So, is it if you want to command the respect of people, you want that? Is it how people address Christ? Are you following me? Now, if you study in scriptures, you see that demons addressed him. But is that also? What did they say? He said, Master. They called him Master. You see, when he said, Paul, I know. Jesus, you mentioned, I know. But who are you? Now, when you want demons to address you as Master, when you want situations, so it's warfare we are. If you want the things that you are facing to address you as how to address Christ, then you have to put on what?
Christ.
So as long as you put on Christ, your identity. So you see, I come. You see, so I come to you in the name of what? The Lord Jesus Christ. That is why when we are addressing situations, we just know that in the name of Jesus, what we are trying to do is to remind the devil of the identity we carry. It is that identity upon which what we approach you. So one of the put on is to deal with identity issue, and whenever you want to deal with identity is Christ. Have you put on Christ? When you don't put on Christ, nobody fears you. The devil fears Christ, not you. No, he doesn't fear you. It is Christ, the glorified one, the one who died and rose on the third day, triumphant what? On that very third day. And he's seated at the right hand of what? Of the Lord, interceding for us. The glorified one. The Bible said that to him God has given all powers in heaven, beneath the earth, and everywhere. That powers belongs to him. It is him they fear. It is him they know. So if your identity is not Christ, recently I saw a video of Abodie. But you know Abodie? Those guys who gym, right? Being handcuffed by some slim policeman in America. I don't know what they did, but they grabbed him and then this slim policeman put a handcuff on him and he was the one guiding him to go and sit in the car. You let him take off the uniform. The policeman, okay? That slim policeman. Let him take off the uniform. Let them meet on a level ground and see if that would even the policeman will not even try to go and talk to him. That you are under arrest. Do you understand? So what made that tough fit man succumb to the instruction of that slim policeman? It is because of the identity. So it is not, you see, it is not about the body. It's the engine, what you have put on. So don't mind the body, mind the engine. It's your identity. So it doesn't matter what is in front of you. As long as it is Christ you have put on, that thing will pop. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27. It says, as many that are baptized in Christ have what? Put on Christ. So just as clothing defines a person externally, you understand? What you wear defines you externally. Christ is to become the believer's visible what? Identity. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. That's why when anybody sees you, has to see what? Christ. When anybody sees you, has to see what? Christ. Therefore, putting on Christ simply means putting on who you belong to. So whenever you said you have put on Christ, it means that you have put on who you are. You belong to. Hallelujah. How do you put on Christ? I'm just going to go through it quickly. One, accepting Christ's righteousness. So when you accept the righteousness of Christ, you have what? Put him on. Number two, living under his lordship. Living under the lordship of Jesus means you have what? You've put him on. And this is simple as marriage. The woman bears the name of the man because she lives under the lordship of what? The man. And the Bible said, and Sarah called Abraham what? My Lord. That means that he has put on the identity of what? Abraham. So today we can say that Mrs. what? Call me Marjorie. But that is not her surname. Some few years ago. Now she has put on what? The identity of what? The husband by what? Submitting to what? His lordship. That's our relationship with Jesus is marriage. The next one is manifesting his life means that what? You've put him on, and then rejecting the desires of the flesh means you've put him on. Let's move on to the second one, because all these things I'm doing is to just define the concept of clothing and for you to understand why we will be instructed to put on, and I'll teach you how to put on. The second one is clothing communicates prestige and dignity. Now, I wrote something here. Clothing can distinguish a person's position, honor, authority, and not status. Do you know that? When we go to gatherings, we know those who are traditional rulers by their heart, their dressing. That is their position, right? Now, when you are graduating and they want to honor you, there is a way they ought, they clothe you. So that you know that these are the people who are going to be what? Honored. Now, when you go to certain places, you want to know. Now, let me tell you, in this world, there are levels. Sometimes we can just determine the levels by the designer where you are wearing. Some people walk around with Gucci bags so that you know that you are not their level. Now, clothing is expensive so much because of what? Status. True of us. Also, we can all be wearing the same shoe, but one's own can buy 10 of what you are wearing. We can all be wearing the same t-shirt. I didn't even know that the polo, there are levels. Levels, room. Not every polo be polo. Some can be Apollo. There are some that the human being is riding the horse. Wonderful. But you see, so you see, the status will tell the kind of polo you can afford. So people wear certain things to tell you that we are here, you are here. The reason why we wear uniform in senior high schools and below is because they want to take away this whole classification of people. So that it doesn't create, because when you are young, those things can affect you. So it doesn't matter who you are, everybody will wear the same thing. So that because clothing can show dignity. Yes, that is what it does. Prestige and dignity. So those of us from the Cocoa House, we will have been in trouble. Hallelujah. Now I need to be tie and dye throughout. Do you know tie and dye? You've not heard some before. Hallelujah. You are blessed, though. Amen. Let's move on. So, your status, your honor, authority, and everything can be out, can be dealt with by your clothing. Let me give you some few scriptures. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. The story of the high priest Joshua. Do you remember that story? The Bible says Joshua was about what? Offer sacrifice a lot on the altar. And the devil was at his right hand what? Resisting because of what he was what? Wearing. It was what? A filthy what? Garment. So his authority was what? Under check. What did they do? They changed it for him. Do you remember the prodigal son? When the father saw him, what was the first instruction? Change his clothes. Luke chapter 15 verse 22. The first thing the father did was what? He changed his clothes. Because when he came, he was looking as what? A servant, not a son. He said, no, this is what? A son, not a servant. Change his what? To restore his dignity and what? And his honor. That's why if you tear a person's cloth, you have dishonored the person. Are you following me? When you tear a cloth of someone, it's regarded as what? Dishonor. Amen. Spiritually, our status and authority is as a result of what we put on, which is what? The new man. So in the concept of our dignity and then honor or the status we have, we put on what we call what? The new man. Put on what we call what? The new man. So one of the things we put on is what? The new man. Let me tell you this. You will be addressed as how you dress. So be serious when you are going somewhere and you are, yes. Me, if you come to my house, I dress anyhow. But when I have any engagement, then you know that so fashion is on my eye stop. We were taught that when you go to a school, the way the school will receive you is your appearance. So when we were stepping out to go and minister in schools, it is the best that we have that we ought we take out. Because even if you go for wedding, your appearance can tell where they will put you at the table. You have not experienced that before. You just try one day, wear slippers, wear shorts, t-shirt, go for a very serious wedding. And when it gets to the tables, by the time they'll give you a place to sit, Unless somebody knows you, then, oh, this person is this person. But if they should have given you a place to sit by your appearance, even at the service, they'll not let you come near the first five row. Even if you are the first person to be there. So you are addressed by the way you ought, you dress. Because clothing brings what? Dignity and what? And honor. And therefore, in our spiritual life, we put on the new man to determine our status, our dignity and what? And honor. Let's read the scripture. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24. So the second classification of clothing is what? The new man. So the first one is what? We put on Christ. The second one is what? We put on what? The new man. Now you find out that these two things will come together to form what we call the armor of light, which is our conclusion for today. Look at this. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and what? And holiness. Put on the what? The new man. What is this new man we are talking about? The new man is the new creation produced by the Holy Spirit, who is righteous, holy, renewed in knowledge, and created after God's image. We are talking about your newborn spirit. Allow that spirit to influence your life. So that when you say put on the new man, what we are trying to say is that allow your life to be lived from what? The regenerated spirit. So the Bible says, he that walks in the spirit is what? Is what? So walk in the spirit that you may not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the reason why we are asked to walk in the spirit is because we need to put on the note, the new man, which is formed in what? Righteousness and what? And holiness. Now, this is when you put on the new man. Therefore, putting on the new man speaks of living according to the new nature received in Christ. Now, when you put on Christ as your identity, you receive what? A new what? A regenerated what? Spirit. When you receive that, you have to put that also what? On. Now, when you put it on, what it means is that you put on what you have what? Become. So when you marry, they'll tell you behave like a married what? Person. Because you have become what? A married what? Have anybody told you to behave before? Do you understand that word behave? Have you ever heard that word before? Behave. Hey, behave. Whenever somebody tells you to behave, what the person is trying to tell you that you have become a different person now. So be what you are now. Are you with me? So you cannot put on the identity of Christ, that you represent Christ, and Christ has regenerated your spirit, and then you do something that has no relationship to what you put on. That is what? Misbehavior. And that conduct must be corrected. So we put on who we belong to, then we put on what we have what? Become. So if you have become a prince, you behave like a what? A prince. The Bible says we are kings and not priests. So you don't behave like a servant. You don't behave like somebody who is not separated. A priest is a separated person. Are we on the same page? Now, the third classification of clothing and the reasons why we put on clothing is to provide covering and protection. Clothing reduces exposure and vulnerability. You can easily determine a man's vulnerability by looking at what he or she puts on. Yes. Do you hear that we have to dress confidently? The lady said, you look smart. You know, I can just look at how you dress and I know how where you are vulnerable at. Just looking at your dressing. It is easy to know when people are emotionally or vulnerable by their appearance, their dressing. When people are emotionally vulnerable, they are looking for love. They dress away. So instantly, our sister who used to wear and dress modestly will now want to wear something that will want us to see that, oh, she is blessed with goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. She wants us to know that, oh, I am blessed with what? Goodness and what? Mercy. Are we on the same page? Are you being blessed? So we cannot, if you are illiterate and ignorant, we can know by your dressing. When we went to level 100, we thought we were men. But they caught us by our appearance. Oh, look at this ignorant level 100 students. They are just walking around. Oh, when you are in the university, even in SHS, you will know a Form 1 student. What is the name we used to call them, Homo Juang? That's what they call us when we went to Form 1 in Apam. We are homojain. You see, by the time you appear, a lot. Oh, this is a Form 1 student. Yes, your dressing has given you up. So your vulnerability. So they can, a group of them will walk in and then they'll go, hey, come on, let me send you. Because they know you're a Form 1 student among them. When you go to the university, it doesn't matter who you are. When you go to a new place, we will catch you by your appearance. Oh, no, this is not a Ghanaian. How did you know he's not a Ghanaian? The way he's dressed, no. If you are a Ghanaian, you'll not even wear this thing here. Are you on the same page? Good. So we dress to cover our vulnerability. Because the moment somebody notices that you are this, you are vulnerable, you take advantage. Are we there? Yeah. So spiritually, this is also true. Our vulnerability before the world and the devil is covered when we put on the Christian life practices, which are the Christian character, the fruit of the Spirit, and spiritual equipment, the armor. So one of the reasons why we dress is to cover our vulnerability, especially the sisters. That is why these days makeup is the most expensive item now. Blessing, how much is the makeup kit right now? I'm not saying you're vulnerable. I'm just want to establish a cost price here. So the one you want, how much is it? You, your own. How much is it? Because they have to cover certain spots that they don't want you to see on their face. They want to cover certain things that, you see, they can transform into the angel of light by makeup. Because some of them feel that, oh, they are vulnerable. So they have to cover themselves. So makeup. They will put on makeup. That's why we call it put on. When you put on makeup, right? Now, by the time they are removing the ozone layers, the stratosphere, the hemisphere, the atmosphere, and all the sphere before they come to the face, then you know that, yes, the makeup is being made. So it's to protect. That is the whole thing. Do you get it? So whenever we feel vulnerable, see, the believer feels vulnerable when he has not put himself. And the way we protect ourselves is to put on the Christian practices, which has to do with the Christian character, the fruit of the Spirit, and then what? The spiritual equipping, which is what? The armor. Putting on a Christian character. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Believers are commanded to put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, love, which is the fruit of the what? The new life called love. See, when the Bible asks you to put on to love, it is for your own protection. Yes, it's for your own protection. When you become impatient, do you know you are vulnerable? Meekness is defined in the New Testament as slow to what? Speak, quick to listen, quick to what? Slow to anger, right? Quick to listen, slow to speak. If you don't have this meekness, you always be caught up. So you think that your vulnerability is your mouth. Somebody's people are on TikTok now and they are going to whatever they are going to right now because of their mouth. But if they learn to be slow to speak, do not be in trouble. And it's meekness in action. Hallelujah. I want to just. So, that is what? Putting on the Christian character. Now, putting on spiritual equipment, this is where the armor issue what starts from. Let's take some few things here, and then we'll just... Putting on spiritual equipment. This refers to preparation for spiritual warfare. Now, listen to me. Because a believer belongs to Christ and represents his kingdom through the church, he must be equipped to stand against the kingdom of what? Darkness, which is at war with what? The church. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 18, where we're establishing the concept of war, we found out that it said, and the dragon went after what? The seed of what? The woman to wage war against. So, if somebody is waging war against us, then we must be what? Equipped to be able to what? Stand out what? War. And one of the ways we have been equipped is what? The armor we what? We put on. Hallelujah. So one of those equipping is what? The armor we what? We put on. Hallelujah. Amen. So one of the is It's how we stand. And one of the things that needed to stand is what? The armor. One of the equipping of the believer is ability to what? Stand. And how to stand is what? Also what? Connected to what? The armor. Now, the believer's armor. Concerning the armor, Apostle Paul instructed us to put it on. Therefore, as I said, the focus of this message is how to what? Put it on. And how to what? Keep it on. What the armor does is none of your business. Your business is what? Put it on and keep it on. Okay. Now, the two armors. If you study scriptures, there are two kinds of armor. I'll touch one today quickly and then we'll go. We have the armor of light and then the armor of God. Hallelujah. Let's take the armor of light. Romans chapter 13 verse 12, our last reading. Now, when we talk about the concept armor, the most common reference of scripture for the teachings on armor is Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 to 18, true or false? However, in Romans chapter 13 verse 12, we can see it. The night is far out spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us do what? Put on the what? Armor of what? Light. So let's examine the concept armor of light. What is the armor of light? Now, to understand the concept armor of light, we have to answer the question, what light is to the believer? Now, light is the believer's new nature and way of life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 5. Therefore, light as an armor means the believer's new nature and way of life becoming a covering and what? Protection. The believer's what? New way of what? Life. Becoming what? Becoming a covering and what? And a protection. Because that is what light is to the believer. What did he say? You are sons of what? Light. And sons of what? The day. We are not of the night, nor of what? Darkness. So light is to the believer what? The life. Now in John chapter 1, he said, and what? Christ is what? Light. The word became what? Light. And the what? Life of what? Men. So the new living of the believer is what? Light to the new believer's life is what? The way new, and it becomes what? When it becomes an armor, it becomes what? A covering that protects you. Hallelujah. Therefore, what is the definition of an armor of light? The armor of light is therefore the Christ-like life or character or conduct or truth or righteousness that the believer deliberately puts on and lives out in the midst of spiritual darkness. As I said, all the put on that we tackled in the previous verses are all connected, or are all connected to what? This armor of light. Now follow me very well. Hallelujah. Amen. When we talk about the armor of light, we are talking about the Christ you have put on. Okay? The character you have put on. The new man that you have put on. That comes together when it begins to protect you. Are you following me? And it's able to cover you. It becomes what? The armor of what? Of light. Now, to be able to explain the concept of armor of light, the armor of light is not independent from the armor of God, as Ephesians called it. I'm calling it armor of God because that's how Paul called it. Put on the whole armor of what? Of God. So that's why I also want to retain it in that context. The armor of God. The faith and all that was listed. So there is a relationship between the armor of light and the armor of God. And you find out that if you don't understand this armor of light, the armor of God will be as useless as anything to you. Now let's look at it. The armor of light gives us the larger spiritual environment and identity within which the individual pieces of armor in Ephesians chapter 6 function. That is the relationship. The armor of light gives the larger spiritual environment and identity within which the individual pieces of armor in Ephesians chapter 6, what? Functions. What do I mean? In other words, the armor of light is the overarching or the influencing system, or that which influences everything within a broader out scope. Identity and lifestyle of what? The believer. While the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 give us the specific spiritual provision through which that light is maintained and expressed in warfare. Now let me explain all that I've read here. Let me explain. This armor of light, it's the one that creates the enabling atmosphere for the armor of God that you have put on to be able to what? Express itself. What does that mean? It means that it is in the light that this armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6 that Paul mentioned, can be able to do what it does best. Now, if you understand this concept I'm talking about over here, do you know what we call the Iron Dome that the modern Israel uses, right? Are you following me? What does he do? His job is to protect Israel. Is that not so? Where does he function? There is a system that has been built. Is that not so? For that system to be able to swallow what? Missiles. There's something called intercom. Have you heard of it before? You have heard of it before? So you're not following what is going on between Iran and USA. Hey! But you have to learn certain things. I want to explain it. Now, this intercom we are talking about here are defensive mechanism that helps this Iron Dome and this system to be able to swallow what? The ballistic missiles that are being shot. The believer's intercom over here, or the system created for you, is what we call the armor of light. Therefore, if it is not there, you can build whatever you want to build. It will not work. What it means is that if the believer does not put on Christ, does not put on the new man, does not put on the Christian character, there is nothing about faith that will work for you. You see, that is why I said I prayed and I had faith. And the thing is that you want to make the faith work. You see, the thing is, it's not, you are not being taught how to what? Let the armor work. Your job is to put it on. But it will only work when you have put on what it needs first to be put it on it. It is just like the makeup. We have the first layer, right? Then you have the second layer. How many layers do you do? Therefore, the armor of God, which is in Ephesians chapter 6, is so impotent without the armor of light. It's so impotent. It cannot do anything for you. Now, this intercom I'm talking about, it is signals, internet service. Do you know those kind of, and do you know that all the technological advancement we have seen here started from the military? Do you know that WWW was a military system built by the US military, World Wide Web? Do you know that they were the first people to build a drone? Drones were built for military purposes. Now you also used to shoot videos and everything. Most of the advancement you have seen is military inventions. And the purpose of which they are doing it is to what? Help their protective systems to work. So you want to come and use Iron Dome in Ghana here that we are struggling to even have 3G. It will not work. Do you understand? So you see that their armor are able to function and protect them because there are things, the system is created for the armor to what? Be effective. So a believer who does not put on Christ can never have faith work for you. It is not, the thing is, the armor needs a system to work in. And that place is what? Light. So put on, you have to put on the light. Hallelujah. Are we learning something here? So you find out that the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 was never independent on its own. And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, verse 11, verse 14, Paul spoke about light before he started talking about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's read. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Before Paul started saying put on the whole armor, he was telling them to put on light. He was dealing with the issue of light. For you were once darkness. Are you following? But now you are what? Light. In the heart, the Lord. Walk as children of what? Light. What did he say? You do what? Walk as children of light. He was trying to make sure that they create the enabling environment for what? The armor to what? To work. Go to verse 11. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of what? Darkness. But rather what? Expose what? Them. Light. Go to verse 14. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Light. So the light, Christ must give. See, when you put on Christ, that's where he's the light. That's where the light what come from. So before he will put them in the matter of warfare to even be able to stand, put on the armor, he was creating the enabling atmosphere, which is what? Light. So without the light, the armor is as useless and impotent. Faith will do nothing. The helmet of salvation will do nothing. It will not work because the conducive environment for this armor of God to work is light. So Paul said, put on the armor of light in this darkness. Some of you think that you can go and then be talking faith when you don't have even a relationship with Christ. The problem with many believers at war is because they think that they can turn off the light and still survive in the war. It doesn't work. So some of you, and you know what, the whole thing I'm saying, that people want to use worldly principle to achieve godly what? Results. That's where the armor of light is talking about here. You can't put on darkness. And when we talk of darkness, you won't be thinking of a zoom. We are talking of anything that belongs to cosmos is what? Darkness. If all that you have in your mind to deal with the situation you are going through has nothing to do with the identity you have in Christ, has nothing to do with the character of what the new man, you have not put them on, and you are trying to do, oh, I've gone to school, I want to use my knowledge. You are not putting on the weapon of light, and you cannot ever achieve godly result with what? Ungodly what? Principles. So have no fellowship with darkness. That means that don't let darkness be the determinant of what you want to do to achieve godly results. You are praying for marriage, right? You are praying that God should help you to marry, but you are fornicating. You think that sleeping with him will make you marry you. How would that work? Say, I'm having faith. Pastor, by faith. Pastor, but are you serious with me? In my family, they said that you can't marry. In my family, they said that this cannot happen to you. And so therefore, I don't believe in God. I ask for me, I'll marry. But you are fornicating with the person. How does it work? Do you get it? So he said, but the faith is an armor against that fiery doubt of what? Marriage. See, it's an attack. It's a fiery that the enemy is shooting at you. It is a stronghold, you remember, that is coming at you. And you need to have your armor on to deal with it. But here is the case that the armor you are putting, which is faith, you are putting it on in a different system. How will it work? So the war we are losing is, first of all, we are fighting it from a different note. We are using the right weapon in the wrong places. That's why many believers cannot withstand the wiles of the devil. The reason why the schemes of the devil is taking out most believers, is taking us on, is because we don't know that the armor of light is what makes the armor of God effective and efficient. Trust me, if the armor of light is not there, you are impotent in your armor. You are vulnerable. You can be attacked. You are exposed. You are not covered. That's why the devil does not fear your screaming, your prayers. That I told you the last time people were praying and then the drums were dancing. Paye, and then the drums were dancing. I haven't seen videos where they were giving thanks to God. That tells you that it is not what you do. Because as part of the armor that Paul listed, he said praying all kinds of prayers. And also, so why is that we pray all kinds of prayers and since the devil does not budge? It's because you are praying the prayer in a circumstances and environment that does not make it work. It's impotent. Put on the armor of what? Like I said, do what? Put on the armor of what? Put on Christ. Put on the new man. Put on the Christian character and see if faith will not work. And see the prayers will not begin to work. You want to use the worldly system. You want to cheat your way through and expect God to help you rise. You fail. Hallelujah. Let me give you how to put it on. Then we close. As I said, every armor, your focus is what? Putting it on. Your focus is not how it does. It's what? So the first armor we all have to learn to put on is what? Put on what? The armor of light. How do we put it on? Number one, you put on the armor of light by beginning to remove darkness. The moment you want to put on the armor of what? Light. The first thing to do is to begin to what? Remove what? Darkness. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 20. To write it down. You cannot deliberately put on the lifestyle of Christ whilst deliberately what? Retaining the works of darkness. It doesn't work. Sakodie kakra, jumetu kakra. Whenever I see you laugh, but I'm just trying to create that. Do you understand? Oh, playlist, you know that playlist, you know, three of Sakodie, three of Stoneboy. You know, I like Stoneboy is a very good guy. You know, so you want to keep it, and then jumetu kakra, Ima Messi kakra, Sonny Bedu kakra. You see what I'm talking about? How do you want to deliberately put on Christ and still retain something that is not Christ-like? So you have cleared everything on your laptop, but you have left that 3-porn video. See, I saw this 3-porn. I'll use it to sort myself. You have deleted every website, but there's one website that you want to use it to check leaked videos. Shame, you are the one I'm talking to. You are the one, nobody else. You are the one I'm talking to. I know you don't like what I'm saying, but why am I? So the first way to put on light is begin to put you have to begin to remove all darkness. Remove it. Those things that I said, as for me, the makumano. As for me, there. Somebody says something recently, I laugh. Blessing. Something happened. Said, you know that Pastor Blessing, if I call you, this is what you are going to say. That's why I didn't tell you, because I know you are going to quench my fire. But I said, it is the truth that I'm telling you. Is it, you are putting on Christ. Me, when I'm angry. Hey, you want to retain the anger? And you also have put on Christ. Now, where is that renewed man has anger over there? Where is it? That your anger that can destroy, you can burn the house. Some of you, when you are angry, we have to buy a new set of televisions in the house. Anytime you are angry, you are going to buy TV. Because what comes to you that is breaking TVs? May God deliver you in the name of Jesus. Some of you, when you are angry, it's threat. And me, I'll not marry you again. Go ahead, go. And me, I'll not do this for you again. Why? Are you God? Today, don't like pastor's message, but you love it. Amen. I'm addressing all of us. God is healing us. So, how you have to put away. That is the first thing. The second thing you do is you put on Christ and the new man. I've already talked about this. The third thing you do to put on what? The armor of light is rejecting darkness. That is already in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. Putting on the armor of light includes in such a way that darkness is exposed rather than what? Accommodated. Anytime you said you have put on light, the armor of light, you cannot accommodate darkness. The things of darkness, you cannot accommodate it. That's what we're talking about the Bible studies today. That you want to accommodate. You cannot accommodate sin. You cannot. Your roommate comes. Oh, Charlie, Apostle Paul, excuse me. Then you go out because he has come with the beloved. You know what exactly is going to happen. And so you have put on light. That's the time I'll have my siesta. It will not even come across your mind. There was one lady in this ministry. She's in UK now. One time she called me, we were talking. And she told me that she traveled and I think she came back like those weekends. The roommate is not that serious Christians. So she traveled, but something happened, so she has to come back on like the Saturday evening. When she came, unfortunately, there was cohabiting. There's a cohabiter. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody's cohabiting with her, the boyfriend. The moment the roommate saw her, her countenance and everything, just like as if the father has appeared on her. She apologized for 5 days continuously. I am sorry. Then I told her that this shows that you are a true Christian. Because you paid the same amount of money. But she recognized that the kind of life you live, what she did is not something you like. And that she's, it is not that she has offended something that she feared that there could be a repercussion. But some of you, your roommate will be bold as a lion before you. Charlie, come out. Charlie, come out. Then you'll be pushing your bed. Charlie, can't you see I'm... When you put on light, you'll not accommodate that. Some of you, oh, it is just 10 cedis. Yo, just 10 cedis. It's not anything. Just leave it like that. That's what I said last week. By the time you realize you have added 5 zeros to it. Stealing government money starts with 10 cedis and 5 cedis. That change that you never return when they get... It's true. That's how we start stealing from the government too. When you are bold enough to keep the buying sika of 5 cedis, you'll be bold enough to keep 5 million. It starts with the small. Nobody started with a glass of appetite. It starts with one thought. Sin is gradual. You keeping the 5 cedis. Very soon, you keep 5 million. Attorney General is waiting for you. So, we ought. We reject darkness. How to keep... Now, this is how we put on the armor, okay? Now, how do we keep the armor on? So, there's one thing to put it on. Another thing to what? Keep it on. Are we on the same page? How do we keep the armor on? Quickly. Continue walking in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Continue out walking in the light. That is, continue fellowshipping with God. You cannot keep Christ on if you don't fellowship with Him. Fellowship is essential to keep the light on. That's where the fuel is generated, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit will be with you now and forevermore. So it's the fellowship that keeps the light on. That's how we walk in the light. Keep what? Walking in the light. Therefore, don't visit the light. Walk in it. Those of you who visit the light once every 3 months. Oh, Christ, I've come just as I am, without a plea. Every day, you are always coming without a plea. Why will you come without a plea? Hallelujah. Number two, keep renewing your mind. Very important. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. How to keep the light on is always what? Renewing your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You know all these scriptures. I just want to rush through this. The believer keeps the armor of light on by allowing God's truth to continually govern his thought and pattern. Don't do it and say, oh, as for this one here, you everything Bible. The day you put the Bible aside is the day that darkness will start entering. And it will weaken the strength of what? Your armor. It will make you, it will create a space, you get a space for vulnerability. Are you with me? Let me tell you, spiritual darkness begins with dark thoughts. Therefore, renewing your mind transforms your conduct to maintain the light. Every time that you feed on the word of God, it is what? Improving your conduct. And that is how you maintain the what? The light. Lastly, keep yourself in the word. The word keeps us what? Walking in what? In light. That is, the word keeps the believer aligned with the light. So as you study the word all the time, you are aligned with what? The light. Finally, keep walking in obedience. John chapter 11, verse 9. So the light is not merely what you know. The light is what you obey. The light is not what you know. It is what you obey. Every time the believer receives light and obeys it, he maintains his position in the light. And this is what we talk about, revelation. When a revelation comes, and what I'm doing is an act of revelation. When we teach out of revelation, we don't teach out of inspiration. That's why I can verify it, to be sure it is what? God's revelation. Some of the things I may say by inspiration, but most of the things I do here is by revelation. When you get this revelation, you just don't know it. You what? You obey it. You test it and say, oh, if this is of God, then I ought to obey. That is how you maintain your position in the world, in the light. Now, when the light is on, every armor is effective and efficient. They can shoot every arrow. Their faith will do odeshi. The truth will hold you together. Now, you can pray all kinds of prayer and you will see effectiveness. I pray for you that you put on the armor of light. I pray for you today that you will not be vulnerable and unprotected, uncovered, in the name of Jesus. May God keep you from every hand, from every eyes. You are not naked. Any nakedness that is putting fear in you, I declare the covering of God over you in the name of Jesus. Any nakedness that is bringing shame to you, I declare the covering of God upon you in the name of Jesus. The world that you are facing that is creating fear, the situation that is making you afraid, the things that are shaking you right now, I release the light of God, that every armor upon you begin to fasten in the name of Jesus. You are protected. You are covered. You are not naked. Therefore, put on the whole armor. Put on Christ. Put on Christ. So that the devil will say that as for what you are wearing, this is Christ, the authority badge. And therefore, I will not dare this one. In the mighty name of Jesus. I said, what art thou, O mountain before Zerubbabel? That says the word of the Lord, you shall become a plain land. I declare that your faith will stand because your light is shining, because your light is on, because you are in the light, in the mighty name of Jesus. Shall I rise to our feet? Can we have the communion quickly? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we project the communion? Lada makula bashaya. I see the Lord dealing with fear. I said your identity is restored. You are in Christ, though. Your identity is restored. You see, the devil, when the devil, that's why the Bible says, for without, we have not received the spirit of fear. Fear is a frontline demon. It opens you up. And fear is a product. Fear comes when you sense nakedness. That's why whenever you sin, you feel naked. You feel that you are shifted. And that's why the devil always wants to entice the believer with sin. So that you feel not naked and fear will grip you. Then he can do what he wants to do to you. Because Job said, what I feared came upon me. Whatever you fear will come upon you. That is the principle. So fear must open the door for what he wants to do. Fear must open the door to have access to you. Fear must open the door to deal with you. But I said you are covered. Put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor. Put on light. Put on light. And see faith doing a job. And see the preparation of the gospel of the feet doing a job. And see not the helmet of salvation giving you peace of mind. Lift up your voice and begin to bless God.
Gladly stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.